A lot of these thoughts actually come from a book that I've written called Dream Again. And while I mean it, this has been tailored for a younger group. It applies to all of us, and we all have this opportunity to dream again, regardless of what our age is. Our call to worship this morning, as Scott pointed out, was from Proverbs 21:5. This is a little different version. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. I like both versions. I like the one you read too. And as Scott pointed out with his illustration about himself and his brother, you may have noticed that our society, our culture, seems to be filled with people trying to sway you into some scheme that they assure you will be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But if we listen to King Solomon in Proverbs, we know that is not the way to prosperity. You are in a unique position in life. I don't care where you are. You get up each morning and you have a new day. Play whack-a-mole. All right, you know what it is? Okay, a little mole pops out of this hole. And you know, you go, smack! And then that little mole pops out of another hole. You go, smack! And that pops out of another one. You go, smack! You know? Well, as I look back today, I see my life resembling that game. But in a good way. My dreams and aspirations have always been similar, but my circumstances in life have been and are always subject to change. I see that little circle that mole pops out of as my sphere of influence. And for the last 12 or so years, of course, those that are graduating, their sphere of influence has been associated with their school and their classmates. Now, for many of the rest of us, our sphere of influence is where we work. It's those that we associate with, our friends, our neighbors, etc. Some of you will be going to college. Others will be starting new careers. Your future awaits, and it's not yet written. But I can say the same thing about myself. Tomorrow I can get up, and my future is not yet written. Recalling my experience, though, and getting back to whack a prairie dog, I would pop up in a sphere, that little circle, and do the best I could with the gifts I've been given. At some point, though, my life would change. And I know you've experienced this as well. You might have a major illness. You might get married. You might have children. You might go through a job change. And maybe the job change even requires relocation. The mole, that's me, gets whacked on the head and pops out in a different sphere. Well, all of a sudden, I'm in a different sphere of influence. A reassignment of sorts has occurred. But when I pop up in my new sphere of influence, I bring all the lessons that I've learned from the previous sphere. This includes memories and knowledge gained from relationships and previous experiences. These lessons last a lifetime and may be instrumental in achieving lifelong goals. So don't burn your bridges. Your past relationships can be critical to your future success. In my new sphere, I would double down and begin to apply my gifts and talents. I'd revisit my goals and dreams, make adjustments as appropriate, and keep keeping on. Through these changes, guess what I found? My overall goals and aspirations, my dreams, are the same. I may be somewhere new, and my primary role may be different, but my overall driving force for living, my mission, if you will, has not changed. So, for the time that I'm in a specific sphere, I must focus and decide to do my very best at fulfilling my mission and ultimately my dream. I know a future whack or change is coming, but I don't fear it, because it will take me closer to attaining my ultimate purpose for being. Changes, while often difficult at the time, are likely the quickest path for future growth. Some of you will likely recognize this verse of Scripture. And we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Also from the book of Jeremiah, God is quoted as saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." Jeremiah 29:11-13. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for each one of you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan individually tailored for you. Louisa May Alcott, writer of Little Women, has said, "We all have our own life to pursue, our own kind of dream to be weaving, and we all have some power to make wishes come true as long as we keep believing." Have you established any sort of plan for your life? Have you established any goals? Now, I know some of you are thinking, "Give me a break. I'm just about to complete high school." And some of you might be thinking, "Give me a break. I'm just about to retire." The process of setting goals alone has been shown to improve one's chances of success. A 1953 study of Yale graduates found that 3% of graduates who set goals and action plans and who reviewed them daily earned more than the other 97% of their fellow graduates. Similarly, not to be outdone, a 1979 survey of Harvard Business School graduates, participants were resurveyed in 1989, found that the 13% of graduates who had goals and action plans, though not in writing, earned twice that of the 84% with no goals, but the 3% with written goals and plans of action earned 10 times more than the other 97% combined. So, would you agree goal setting is important? You are in the midst of one of the biggest changes in your life, and everyone has experienced change as a pace never experienced before. Example, apple used to just be a fruit. Now when we say apple, that's not necessarily what we think of. Call me old-fashioned, but I still credit the Bible with providing the best direction for living one's life. The Bible even advocates that we dream, and that we dream big. That we make something of ourselves. It states that each person has a purpose divinely scripted. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Ephesians 2:10. People need a purpose, a picture, a plan, and a part to play. Now, you've all heard this before. People need a purpose, a picture, a plan, and a part to play. Stated plainly and simply, purpose provides the reason. We all need a reason for what we are willing to achieve. God gave Moses the purpose of seeing the Israelite children rescued from Egyptian slavery and shepherded into the promised land. The people, though, didn't quite understand and couldn't comprehend the goal without a better picture. Unfortunately for them and Moses, when 12 spies were sent into the land, the Israelites were to conquer and possess, only 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report that gave a desirable picture. The other 10 spies gave a horrible report about giants in the land that could never be defeated. This picture caused fear among the people, and as a result, no one from that generation other than Joshua and Caleb ever entered the promised land. Along with the purpose, we must develop in our minds a picture. That's the second P. That illustrates all the positive outcomes that the purpose will result in and embody. All 12 spies said that the land was a good land, flowing with milk and honey. That's something that the Israelite people had heard over and over and over again. But 10 of them convinced the people that this beautiful picture was impossibly etched with the task of eradicating giants. Joshua and Caleb rightly saw and tried to paint the full picture. The land was great. God had promised it to the Israelites. And the giants were simply flies to be swatted away by God's great leadership and protection over his people. If only the people had accepted this picture, the 40-year travail in the desert would have never been necessary. Now their children, however, embraced Joshua and Caleb's vision and entered the conquered promised land. And they entered and conquered the promised land. So what's your purpose? What powerful dream or cause has your name been divinely assigned to? And if you have already recognized it, then you've also had voices try to steal it from you. What we believe in, we will strive for. What we strongly believe in, we will strive for incessantly. That's what Joshua and Caleb illustrated for us. 40 years in the desert didn't squelch their excitement. Here is where the rubber meets the road. Do you believe strongly enough in your God-ordained purpose? Think of it as your mission in life. To strive for it incessantly. If you do, you will not allow anything or anyone to dissuade you. Do you believe enough to write down your goals for your purpose, for your health, for your family, for your church, and for your spiritual life? Do you believe enough to work for your established goals incessantly with God's help? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. Remember that the Lord will give you as a reward what he has kept for his people. For Christ is the real master you serve. Colossians 3:23-24. If you are willing to work for what you believe in, you need to have a plan. That is the third P. If what I'm proposing makes sense to you, I would expect you to establish a set of actions to achieve your purpose. Your work is your plan set in motion. It is the part you play. That's the fourth P. If the third and fourth P's are inseparable, you must have a plan and you must work your plan. All the planning in the world will not achieve anything. Plans must be put into action. Make your work to be in keeping with your purpose. Leonardo da Vinci. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Again, Proverbs 21:5. Remember, people need a purpose, a picture, a plan, and a part to play. The purpose provides the reason. The picture paints the promised land. The plan sets the course for action, and the part you play says, I can. The world says you were born without a special purpose designed into your being. Therefore, you have to invent your dream if you want your life to have meaning. But the Bible reveals that your dream precedes you. God starts with his dream for you, and then he uniquely and lovingly forms you to desire the dream and to accomplish it for his glory. This is a quote from Bruce Wilkinson's book, You Were Born for This. Today, I challenge you to be people of purpose and vision. The true visionary doesn't deny what exists, but instead isn't afraid to rise above it. The true visionary takes the necessary steps to change reality. When we only focus on problems, the problems can overwhelm and diminish our capacity to solve them. If instead we picture an alternate reality where the problems are solved, we are then actively programming our minds to find solutions to build the brighter future we picture. Rather than looking at problems as insurmountable, we must learn to see them as opportunities for deriving solutions that may very well assist not only ourselves, but many others as well. God may have placed in your purpose the next great medical cure or scientific breakthrough. No matter what direction you have decided to take after today, remember, in our common past, our best inventors and entrepreneurs were mavericks, skipping the traditional paths of higher education and going forward to start industries that shape our lives today. The Wright brothers beat the aeronautical professors and engineers of their day to provide powered flight. The dreamers in the bicycle shop opened the skies to us, not the so-called educated aeronautical engineers. College may be the perfect path for you to follow to achieve your purpose, but it may not. I chose college myself. But where is God leading you? Maybe God is calling you to be the best mother and spouse you can be, or maybe the best welder, or let's have you and God fill in the blank. Let's remember that the majority are often wrong. They choose the easiest path, not the most productive. They march to the lowest common denominator. That is why our founding fathers had the wisdom to make the United States a republic rather than a pure democracy. It is up to the dreamers to dream, and to dream so big that the credit can only go to God once the dreams have found fruition. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is from Romans chapter 12, verse 2.